ground control to Major Tom.
Staunton wriggling his way to the post and right on the post. There are three there. It must be a try. Yes, it is. A second try for John Kelly. Now it's all there for the taking as Gloucester pick themselves up from underneath their own post. Tom.
Ground control to Major Tom.
This is Crotty. Oh yes, O'Gara is in! Another lead for Munster, and what a magnificent try!
Check ignition.
Fully controlled, oh, straight on! Now there will be no greater place in Munster history than the one reserved for the man who scores the special individual try.
Tom Savage of Three Red Kings. Tom, the Irish team has been selected for the final and deciding test in Australia. Rob Kearney, Keith Earls, Robbie Henshaw, Bundy Aki, Jacob Stockdale, Johnny Sexton at 10, Conor Murray at 9, and then it's Conan O'Mahony, Stander in the back row, Toner, Ryan, Furlong, Cronin and McGrath. A very, very, very strong Irish 15, and they'll be looking to make history by going and winning a test series in Australia. It should be a cracking game.
Absolutely, and there's no reason why Ireland can't do it. You know, you look at the guys who are and they're missing through injury, Henderson, Levy, Healy starting on the bench, Ringrose out. That's a very strong Irish team, Andrew Conway. Like, it's a very strong selection, and you can tell that they're looking to duplicate the game plan from last week, getting Jack Conan in there, mixing around Stander and O'Mahony's positioning. It all fits in to kind of duplicate what Ireland did last week. And, you know, again, it's just one of those ones where the breakdown is going to be incredibly important. I think the personnel picked there are very good with regards to duplicating that. The bench looks strong. You know, it would be another old kind of historic mark that's after tumbling down if Ireland can manage to win this series. I don't think it should be underestimated what an achievement it would actually be historically in the context of Irish rugby. We don't win tours in the Southern Hemisphere, you know, traditionally, as in, you know, we may have won one or two here or there, but like as in the recent past, it's always been narrow losses. This is a huge game.
Yeah, and of course, we only need to remember, I think it was last year with the 2-1 defeat to South Africa that we should have, you know, a tour that we really should have won, but just failed to get across the line in that instance. Interesting to see as well, we saw that Dave Kilcoyne pulled a bit of a Tom Court during the week by apparently being in Australia on his holidays and getting a call up. You'd imagine if you're planning your summer holidays, you'd be thinking, do you know what? Now, if I get a call from Joe Schmidt, I can't really refuse it. So maybe I should go somewhere where Ireland are not touring.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. Next year, you're thinking, do you know what? If I'm close to selection, maybe I'll go along to Japan. Just to, you know, I'll see. Tokyo, I'll go see the Forbidden Palace, or is that China? Whatever it is, you're going to go to, Dave Kilcoyne showed here, as other guys have shown in the past, you've got to go. If there's a big tour or a big World Cup or a Lions tour, go on holiday where that tour is, and you'll never know. You might get a chance to have a run of the team. Killery, you could see on Instagram, he was kind of on his usual sun holiday thing, and then he was in Australia then a couple of days before it was announced, and it was just like, oh, that's odd. And then he was, you know, announced he was training in the aftermath of Keane Healy's injury. But it's a handy one.
Yeah, Tom, I suppose going back to the test, the Australians are going to have to do their talking on the pitch on Saturday. They've certainly done plenty of it in the build-up to the match with regards to their comments in the press and alluding to, I suppose, some of Ireland's shadier tactics, or what the Australians would at least consider shady. I thought that they were, you know, it wouldn't be the first time I've accused Australians of being a bit whiny when it comes to rugby. And I think so, again, in this case. But, you know, all those kind of trying to put the little thoughts and doubts and into the referees' minds, that's not going to count for much on Saturday morning. But what will you expect from Australia? How do you think they will try to counteract what Ireland did to them last week?
Well, Australia in week one read Ireland's what they assumed Ireland would play like very, very well. They scouted our screens. They were basically able to hit our pullback pass every time. So we would go to a three-man screen with the likes of Carberry or whoever else behind us. They would pull that pack. Once Ireland would go, it would be pulled back to the likes of Carberry. And Australia were able to blitz beyond our screen, hit us behind the gain line, and just kind of dominate us physically there. And that got them on the front foot when it came to the breakdown as well. In last week's game, Ireland had 125 successful rucks, which is only three more successful rucks than the first game. But the difference this time is that the rucks were much closer together relative to each other. So Ireland were able to really get physicality in over the ball. Australia this time can't afford to play on the counter. In the first game, they were successful because they kicked away a lot of ball and they were able to get a lot of turnover penalties from Ireland. But relatively speaking, in Test rugby, I think they got maybe three or four. But that's enough to stop Ireland's momentum and get them down the pitch where they could get their line-out into play, which has been very good so far. Something I was expecting them to be poor at, they've actually ended up kind of looking relatively impressive once they've got the ball into the mall. This week, I think they're going to look to try and play a little bit more front-foot rugby, hang on to the ball. They would have been chastened last week by Ireland dominating the ball the way we did. Like, as in, Ireland just bullied them off the ball for a lot of the time. They can't afford to be playing on Ireland's counter-attack. Because in the first game, Ireland turned over the ball an awful lot. And generally, Ireland don't do that. So Australia were able to play very much on our mistakes. Last week, there really weren't all that many mistakes that Australia could play off. You know, Ireland hung on to the ball very well. We didn't kick the ball away. We just bullied them in contact. And I think this week, they're going to look to try to do the same. So from Ireland's perspective, we've just got to try and defend enough up the middle of the pitch, as we've been doing, and then just try to avoid any exploitation in the backfield when it comes to their kicking game. Duplication, like you said there, they were complaining about it last week, but it's all about it this week for Ireland. If they can go and get stuff Folau's running lines, stuff those chase lines, we'd be in a position then to actually, you know, duplicate what we managed last week, which is hang on to the ball, punish them in contact, punish them at the ruck, and then just build, phase pressure until they start giving away penalties and start giving away opportunities. If we do that, Ireland will win.
Tom, call it.
Ireland by 5 points plus, with the caveat that we continue that nine-man pressure that we were doing against in the second test. And that's why I think that Robbie Henshaw and Bundy Aki will have to have very important games here. They're going to have to step in as auxiliary heavy ball carriers, I would say. And they certainly have the physicality to do it. We're going to need big games out of Furlong, Ryan, Toner, but these are, you know, big guys anyway. You know, these are fellas who perform. CJ Stander, Peter O'Mahony will be hugely important. Jack Conan needs a very big game. He's a guy who hasn't had any standout performances for me, for Ireland as of yet. He's been absolutely outstanding for Leinster. There's no reason why he can't translate that to the very top level. You know, it's one thing to do it against the USA or to do it against, you know, Argentina in November, but it's another thing entirely to make that step up against the likes of Australia.
Perfect. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Savage has told you to get on it. Ireland plus five by 5 points over Australia. So make sure you
bet the mortgage payment.
Bet the mortgage payment
next week as well.
We are going to put a disclaimer at the end of this program for anybody anybody who'd even consider such a thing. We'll be straight through to the legal department in the aftermath of this show. Anyway, Tom, forget Ireland, Australia. That is small potatoes for us provincial people up here or down here in the south of Ireland, also known as Munster fans. I'm sure Leinster fans have different names for us, but the pool draw.
Irish Independent.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. INM, the INM branch of the Leinster Supporters Club. Tom, the draw for the Champions Cup for the 2018-19 season. When I saw Munster getting dropped into tier three, I was kind of going, ah, crikey, this could be messy. As it turned out, it wasn't too bad. Castra, Exeter, and Gloucester.
Yeah, you know, it's not the worst group in the world. You know, given that, well, first of all, I was just relieved not to get Racing 92 and Leicester Tigers again. Just sick of playing those lads at this point. So other than that, anything else was a positive. It could have been a much tougher group. That's no disrespect to Cass, who we Munster had a lot of trouble with last year in France. Anyway, Gloucester are a team we haven't really played in quite a while. You know, and people are kind of sleeping on them a small little bit, but they've invested very well. They've got a lot of very good players coming to them next year. You know, you've got Franco Mostert, you've got Herbrand Krobler, you've got Jack O'Creel is going to be there as well. You know, they've got a lot of very good players, and they're going to be a tough proposition. Exeter, of course, are a team that, you know, in a lot of ways have modelled much of what they do on Munster. This is the first time Munster will play them. It's a very should be an interesting one, but I think looking at it now, you would say that, you know, it could have been much worse given that we were drawn into tier three and that Munster would be comfortable enough to give that group a good rattle.
Yeah, I think so too, Tom. I don't. Again, a lot of this, of course, will. You know, we spoke yesterday off air about the sequencing of the games, when who you have in the back to backs, when you play the French team away, what position the French team are in when you play them away. All these things, the little minutiae of the group that can have quite a big effect on it. So, there are lots of factors. Yet in this kind of pool setup, that could throw a few spanners in the works. But you know, I think if you look at Leinster's draw, they got quite a tough one. Wasps to lose and Bath. Now they're still by far and away the best side of the four in there. Ulster got Leicester, Racing, and Scarlets. So Leicester and Racing again drawn together in a pool, but. Thankfully, this time without us, and we see that I think Ulster have a tricky pool as well. There's going to be some real tough games in there for them.
Oh yeah, this is going to be actually Simon Zeebo and Dunnacha Ryan's fourth season in a row playing Leicester, so it's like they're going to be absolutely sick to death of Welford Road by the time they're finished. But it's, you know, it looked like a fairly balanced draw overall. Leinster's group is kind of the prestige group because there's a lot of former winners in there. The Girvan Dempsey at Bath is going to be an interesting narrative going into going into those games. So it looks like a very good draw. You know, the Irish side will be relatively happy. For Ulster, it's a tough pool. I still maintain it could have been a lot worse for them. But you know, they obviously are going to be up against it straight away, given the group they're in. They've got, you know, the Scarlets. But then again, they'll be backing themselves to beat Scarlets. You know, same with Leicester. And after that, then you're looking at a one-on-one shot with Racing. You know, who knows how that'll go? But you know, Ulster, it's a tough group, but there's no reason why they can't get out of it. Like.
Going back to Pool One, Tom, with you know, putting your blue Leinster hat on, I'm sure that you're not going to be anyway biased in this, but Leinster really should come out of that pool.
Oh, Leinster should waltz out of that pool unless there's some, you know, dramatic injury issue or they have, like as in, they have some sort of form breakdown. It looks like a tough pool on paper, but they really should be winning that, you know. Wasps are good. They've got a couple of decent players coming in. Bath should invest as well. They had a tricky enough season last year, but it's and Toulouse will be a tricky one because they've definitely improved from even 2 years ago. But they are. I would back Leinster to come out of that fairly comfortably. You know, as in they've got a lot of depth. They've invested quite well again in the summer. They've got Joe Tamani coming in. So they should do very well, bar some catastrophic injury crisis. They should take that handy enough.
Just looking at the other pools there for a minute. Pool three: Saracens, Glasgow, Lyon, and Cardiff. That's a tough one for looking taking at the Pro 12 or the Pro 14 angle on that one. Glasgow and Cardiff. That's a really tough pool to be landed in for the Pro 14 sides there.
It is, and it's going to be the battle of the plastic pitches. Saracens, I expect, will be much stronger next season. Glasgow are in a tough spot. You know, they had a very disappointing end of the season in Europe and in the Pro 14, so they've got a lot of stuff they've got to try and do next year. It's going to be interesting. I would say that as far as difficulty goes, you know, you're probably going to look at Saracens coming out of that pool, and then somebody else perhaps has got one of those ones, but it's a huge ask for Glasgow, you know, as in they've got a lot of improving to do, and if they can actually make it stick, then, you know, they'll take a lot of credit from it.
Yeah, and Pool 5, Montpellier, Newcastle Falcons, Edinburgh and Toulon. Again, the Pro 14 angle on this one, Edinburgh really, really up against it. Montpellier and Toulon, two heavyweights in both financial and physical terms with regards to French rugby. You know, four pool games against sides as physical as Montpellier and Toulon. It's going to test your squad depth. It's going to test your physical abilities, and especially with a fresh Newcastle Falcons side in there. Who's, I think, if I'm correct, is it Newcastle Falcons? Have they competed in the Champions Cup or in the highest level before?
They have a good while ago, I think. Though,
to the late 90s, as far back as I can. Tough one for Edinburgh, though, Tom.
Oh man, it is. Yeah, like, look, they'll be happy enough to get back in, to, you know, to basically be, they'll be happy to back at this, to be back at this level. But, you know, as far as pool goes, they could barely have had a harder one. You know, Montpellier are going to be very, very tough to beat next year. Toulon just signed Julian Savea. You know, they're going to be very difficult to beat as well. It's a tough one for Edinburgh, but they showed last year that they can be a match for anybody on their day. So if they keep their key guys fit, they'll be comfortable giving those as a rattle, but I wouldn't be expecting too much from them.
Perfect. Tom, tell us a bit more about what's coming up with Three Red Kings between now and the weekend.
On Patreon.com /Three Red Kings this week for just €2 a month. I'm going to be looking at, in detail, what Australia and Ireland are going to look to do this weekend in the Red Eye, and I'm going to be also looking at the Blood and Thunder podcast, just going over everything as to what we can expect from that match. So that's all coming up this week on TRK Premium.
Waterhouse back.
Be careful, there he is. It's all on this. Ronan O'Gara.